And I like cream in my coffee. And I like to sleep late on Sunday. And nobody knows me like my baby.
I'm Pamela Wilson, the Care Navigator on 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station. You're with us on The Caring Generation, focusing on the conversation of caring, giving us permission to talk about aging, the challenges of caregiving, and everything in between. Whether you're a caregiver or a person needing care, facing an unexpected situation, or if you're interested in education to help you live a healthier and more informed life, you're in the right place with me every Sunday from 10 to noon. Our website, thecaringgeneration.com, features more than a year's worth, actually almost 2 years now, worth of top 10 tip sheets and all of our past programs free for you to listen and share with others. Visit thecaringgeneration.com. Dr. Saad Omer is assistant professor at Emory University. He's an infectious disease epidemiologist and has worked on studies in the United States, Guatemala, Ethiopia, India, Pakistan, Uganda, and South Africa. Dr. Omer's research includes clinical trials of influenza, polio, measles, and the pneumonia vaccine. He's published in journals including the New England Journal of Medicine, JAMA, The Lancet, American Journal of Public Health, American Journal of Epidemiology, and the British Medical Journal. He was recently awarded the Maurice Heilemann Award in Vaccinology by the National Foundation of Infectious Diseases. Dr. Omer, good morning. Whoops, do we have him, Tony? I can't hear him. Try to see if we can get him on the line here.
Morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Let's talk about the United States versus other countries. Is the United States a fairly protected country from infectious diseases versus third world countries?
Relatively, yes. And that's primarily due to better hygiene, better socioeconomic status. But we are not completely protected. For example, diseases like influenza and other diseases such as whooping cough or pertussis and so on and so forth.
What does it take to develop a vaccine, and are you working on anything right now?
Well, it takes several efforts. First, you identify an organism that causes the disease. Then you identify how does it behave under the circumstances of the natural infection. Then you identify the vulnerabilities in that organism. You develop candidates. You do animal trials and you do human trials. And it takes a lot of time to do that. These are the several steps. I'm working on a few vaccines. I'm working on studies of influenza vaccines in certain age groups and vaccines for pneumonia, et cetera.
Is there a time frame for a vaccine? Let's say I get a flu shot or maybe a measles shot. Do they wear off in time?
It depends on the shot. So the vaccines that are based on killed organisms, they have longer term immunity generally, and so an example is tetanus and pertussis vaccine. There's evidence that they last approximately for 10 years, specifically tetanus vaccine, and therefore we recommend people to get a booster every 10 years. Some of the other vaccines like measles vaccines, etc., they last much longer. And then there's a third category, which is there's vaccines that have been introduced recently, and we haven't had enough follow-up period to actually determine how long their immunity is.
For people who have kids, what's more contagious, measles or mumps?
Actually, measles. Scientifically speaking, measles is the more contagious disease. But on the other hand, mumps is also, in its own right, reasonably contagious.
What are the next diseases that we should be concerned about?
So we should continue to be concerned about seasonal influenza, but we should also be concerned about potential for emerging pandemics. As you know, there's there's reasonable evidence or emerging evidence that there is a change in climate, and because of that, some of the organisms are being seen in places they were not seen before because they survive in different climate. So we should be concerned about some of the organisms, such as West Nile virus, et cetera, that are emerging. We should also be concerned about drug-resistant organisms. So we are fortunate to have the resources to have good antibiotics in this country. However, the other side of this is that some bacteria especially have developed resistance to these antibiotics. And so they are an emerging concern, both in hospital setting, but also increasingly in the community as well.
And you mentioned pandemic, and I think of the bird flu when I think of that. Does the regular flu shot counteract that bird flu, or is something special would have to be developed?
No, unfortunately, our evidence suggests that it doesn't in most cases. And as the, you know, if we have an emerging bird flu pandemic, we'll have to take that virus, sequence it, find out what it is made of, what is its genetic composition, and develop a vaccine very quickly.
How difficult would it be for, say, a terrorist to bring something to the United States that would infect a great number of people quickly?
Well, again, I'm not a security expert, but I think, it, scientifically speaking, it would be relatively easy to bring it. However, the good news is, in a way, that it's difficult to develop it. And so once they have it, perhaps it may not be that difficult to bring it here, but I don't think it's easy to develop something like this, even for foreign governments, I guess.
Good. That gives me a little sense of peace. So what are the more common diseases that most of us should be immunized for?
So for individuals older than 65, it's the tetanus booster shot, the zoster vaccine, influenza vaccine. It's very important to do that annually. Pneumococcal polysaccharide vaccine. So these are the vaccines that cover most people, almost everyone in this age group. But then there are other vaccines such as hepatitis A vaccine, hepatitis B vaccine, and meningococcal vaccines that are indicated for certain age groups. In early age groups, for example, children, you need to get vaccines such as rotavirus vaccines, DTaP, which is a combination vaccine, containing diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis, Haemophilus influenza type B vaccines, pneumococcal vaccines, and the inactivated polio vaccine. In addition to that, the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine and varicella vaccine is also indicated in younger age groups.
Are there any websites that you can recommend?
I think some of the better websites are the CDC's National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Disease website. They have information both for professionals but also the general public. Their address is www.cdc.gov/NCIRD. Then there's Immunization Action Coalition, which they have materials for the general public. It's very easy, www.immunize.org. And if you're concerned, if you have questions regarding vaccine safety, there's a very good website developed by folks at Johns Hopkins Institute for Vaccine Safety, and it's, again, easy to remember, www.vaccinesafety.edu.
Great. Dr. Omar, I thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
So, listeners, let me just give you those websites again. It's cdc.gov, immunize.org, and vaccinesafety.edu. I'm Pamela Wilson, the Care Navigator. You're with me on The Caring Generation, navigating life's transitions with dignity, clarity, and stability. Our program's not limited by time zone or location. Your out-of-town friends, family members, and loved ones can listen each week by visiting khow.com and clicking on the Listen Live button. Up next, a tale of the caring generation about the importance of planning ahead.